Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Boy, a lot is going on, in particular in the Middle East. This is, you know, dropped right on the plate of Barack Obama from the American point of view. Israeli aircraft continuing raids into Gaza, Arab anger rising. Just a quick look at some of the news stories on this. In the Jerusalem Post, they are pointing out that Egypt, the Egyptian Foreign Minister Ahmed Abul Gait, responded to criticism by Hezbollah leader Nasser Nasrallah on Sunday, saying they have practically declared war on Egypt via several satellite stations. People reject and oppose this declaration. And this from their offices in Ankara. The Egyptian foreign minister added that his country had tried to prevent the escalation in violence by asking Israel not to carry out an operation in the Gaza Strip. And now the border to Egypt has been apparently breached as Gazans are streaming into Egypt trying to escape the fighting. The Financial Times, I thought this was particularly interesting, today's Financial Times, the lead editorial, the Financial Times, arguably one of the most conservative business publications in the world. The lead editorial, Bombing Gaza is Not a Solution, is the headline. And then the subhead, Barack Obama should make Israel-Palestine a priority. They point out this bombing has claimed the highest number of Palestinian lives in a single day since Israel occupied the West Bank and Gaza in the 67th Six-Day War. And then they get into the politics of it. Keep in mind, on February 10th, Israel's holding an election. And, of course, on January 20th, George Bush, who, you know, if it involves bombing, he's in favor of it, regardless of where in the world it might be, is leaving office. So there are some speculation that this timing window was not entirely coincidental and not entirely related to the rockets coming out of Gaza, as much as they are to be deplored. But the op-ed in today's Financial Times, Mr. Netanyahu, already ahead in the polls, must be chuckling. When labor leader and current president Shimon Peres tried this tactic in 1996, invading Lebanon and bombing Gaza, the Likud leader won the subsequent election. But trying to crush Hamas from the air is self-defeating in other ways, writes the Financial Times in their lead editorial today. It further enrages Arab and Muslim opinion against Israel and its U.S. allies and strengthens the appeal of Islamist radicals. And that's a concern from the point of view of America. Osama bin Laden must just be having a great day, because this is one of those extraordinary recruiting moments. So is it possible to be pro-Israel and pro-peace? I spent a good chunk of the morning reading both the Jerusalem Post, the more conservative paper, and Haaretz, the more liberal paper in Israel. And there is a loud and active debate going on in the country of Israel right now about whether this was the appropriate policy, whether it was simply a declaration of the failure of previous policies having to do with Gaza, and how to move forward. I believe it's possible to be pro-peace and pro-Israel. And so does Jeremy Ben-Ami, the executive director of J Street, jstreet.org. And Jeremy, did I just mispronounce your last name?
No, it's easiest to rhyme it. So Jeremy Ben-Ami is correct.
Ben-Ami. Okay, great. And Jeremy, jstreet.org is a relatively new, in the last year or so, political action committee and I don't know if lobby is the right word. You describe it, that you guys describe yourselves as pro-Israel and pro-peace. Elaborate on that.
That's right. And Tom, I think we are in complete agreement with you that it is possible to be an American who cares about Israel, wants it to survive, wants it to be secure, but to believe fundamentally that the best way to achieve that is to end the political conflict that exists between Israel and the Palestinian people and Israel and the broader Arab community. There is no military solution to these problems. You can't bomb away the problem of millions of Palestinians who at this point still do not have a state of their own. And that's, I think, where we come down, is that while this may be understandable, you can even potentially justify a military response to the rocket attacks from Gaza, this is not the wisest course to pursue if you really have the long-term best interests of Israel at heart.
It seemed to me, and I'm not certainly any kind of military strategist, but you watch the news, you pay attention, and you get a sense of how sophisticated today's military is, particularly in their ability to sense activity, as it were. And it seemed to me that setting aside the geopolitical aspects of this and the fact that, frankly, I think that all of this in many ways is an indictment of the failure to, you know, when Hamas was first elected in Gaza, and let's keep in mind, this is a democratically elected government, even though it's a group that refuses to acknowledge the existence of Israel and is a terrorist group by the definitions of most countries. There was I remember Menachem Begin, blew up the King David Hotel. I mean, there's a long history of people who are formerly, we've recently now embraced Muammar Gaddafi. A long history of groups that are, quote, terrorists, end quote, the American Revolution was called that by the British, who are later brought into the community of the world. And it seems to me that after that election in Gaza, there was this moment when Hamas could have been fundamentally transformed. Am I being Pollyanna here in this, Jeremy? You're an expert in this region.
Well, what I would say, Tom, is that you're recognizing the deep complexities of the situation. You know, the tendency when something like what happened this weekend takes place, the tendency is for people to retreat to simplistic black and white visions of the world. And there's good guys and there's bad guys, and you root for the good guys. And, you know, somebody has truth and justice on their side and somebody else doesn't. Yes, I think you're being, a little bit Pollyannish that maybe, Hamas could have been reformed. But on the other hand, you're right, they have to be dealt with and they have to be acknowledged as a part of the political landscape now of the Palestinian people. And let's not forget that it was the United States that forced these elections to take place. The right. Israelis and Fatah, the other main party within the Palestinian,
which is another example, by the way. Fatah at one point was considered a major terrorist organization, and now they're considered the moderating influence in the Palestinian community.
Right, and there are divisions within Hamas as well. There's the folks who are in Damascus and potentially, calling the shots. There are folks who are down in Gaza itself. There are splits that are apparent within Gaza, within the Hamas leadership. So there's a lot of sophistication and a lot of fine-tuning that one has to do to a policy to get it right. And the type of, policy that we see from a neoconservative point of view here that led us to Iraq, or from a, military perspective in Israel that just leads you to lash out against your enemies, doesn't begin to address the complexities or take advantage of potentially the opportunities that were there.
Now, where I started to go in my previous comment to you is that you look at the military, the sophistication of military devices these days, and you would think that it would be possible with just aerial surveillance, with a drone or something, to identify within, a fraction of a second the location from which a rocket is fired when rockets are fired into southern Israel, and take that location out. So you get, you get a guy with a rocket launcher, and he launches the rocket. He has just announced to the world, "I'm right here." That's where you drop the bomb if you're gonna do that. Am I being militarily stupid here, Jeremy?
Well, I think look at what I look at is the 2006 Lebanon war and the attempt there by Israel to take out the rocket launching capacity of Hezbollah. And despite days and weeks and ultimately a month of an intense air and then ground attack, the number of rockets only increased that Hezbollah was actually able to get off. And so, you know, the lesson that a lot of people take out of that particular episode was that you really can't actually defeat this kind of a mobile launching rocket capacity from the air. You know, this is not something that can just be pinpoint taken out and destroyed.
We're talking with Jeremy Benamy, the executive director of JStreet, JStreet.org, the PAC and think tank and pro-Israel, pro-peace group, new group in Washington, D.C. And Jeremy, the complexity of this situation is something that unfortunately I think is going to be lost on so many people. When we come back from this break, I'd like to get your thoughts on how we as a country, the United States as a country, should be working to, A, support our ally Israel in that region, a fundamental and important thing to do, and B, work to bring peace in that region, and any opportunities we might have blown over the last 15 or 20 years to do that that we can learn from. We'll be right back, 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country.
That has now changed.
But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party. And it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620. KBOJ.
Men, listen carefully. If you suffer from any type of erectile dysfunction, Oregon Male Performance Clinic can help you now, regardless of your age or medical history. If you want to perform for 45 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes, or longer, call 503-443-1000 in Portland. There's no pain or surgery, just the newest available safe and effective medications given to you by one of our licensed Oregon physicians. Our doctors are so sure you will have a positive reaction to our medication on the first visit that if you don't, it's free, guaranteed. In Portland, call 503-443-1000 now. If you want to perform for up to 90 minutes or longer, or if you suffer from PE, it doesn't matter what medications or health problems you have. If Viagra and Cialis have let you down, in Portland, call 503-443-1000 today and see why our patients now have happy, healthy, complete sex lives.
How to prevent a sweater avalanche. Step 1, barricade your closet door and head directly to the Home Depot. Step 2, stock up on storage totes, shelving, and more. Step 3, show your closet and your wallet who's boss.
The Home Depot has the lowest prices on hundreds of storage solutions. Get 2 18-gallon bins for $6.88 and clear shoebox totes for only 99 cents each. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only while supplies last.
Who do you ping for? Your mother? Sister? Grandmother? Daughter? Friend? Whether you're a survivor or co-survivor of cancer, we all ping for someone. Now you can ping with us 24/7 and support life-saving research at City of Hope. With new approaches like immunotherapy that use the body's own immune system to fight cancer and the development of 4 of the leading cancer drugs, City of Hope is helping save lives everywhere, every day. Learn more at whodoyoupinkfor.com.
I present to you three of the fiercest subjects ever assembled in the Cage of Doom. Algebra 2, Foreign Languages, and Biology. Who among you will step up to their challenge?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Me too.
Sign me up.
Take on the tough classes now. You need them to prepare for college. Find out which classes you need at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, brought to you in part by the Teamsters, proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act. You can learn more at teamster.org. Our quote for the day from Daniel Borstein: the greatest obstacle to discovery is not ignorance, it is the illusion of knowledge. The old everything you know is wrong. Jeremy Benamy is with us. He is the executive director of J Street. JStreet.org is the website, a pro-Israel, pro-peace. How do you describe your group, Jeremy?
As a lobby. I know you were talking around that word, but actually we describe it as a lobby and political action committee, and we are a federal PAC as well.
Okay, great. And just a quick revisiting here of the situation. The Financial Times headline: Arab states squirm as anger rises, and they talk about Israel. They must live with the realization that the violence will play into the hands of radical regional forces such as Iran, which supports Hamas, Hezbollah, and domestic Islamist opposition groups such as the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Egypt, of course, is very worried about this. UN, the United Nations Security Council, issued a unanimous statement early yesterday. That would mean that the U.S. Participated in this. This was issued Sunday, expressing serious concerns at the escalation of the situation in Gaza and calling for an immediate halt to all violence. That's on both sides. And, of course, another interesting piece in the Financial Times: Israel plays for high stakes in Gaza attack. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, as it were, or back in the war front, the defense minister of Israel says this is a war to the bitter end, and has justified this being the largest collection of casualties since the Six-Day War, because Hamas theoretically is the government of a state in Gaza, and so this is a state-to-state, an interstate war. And they are going to take down that state. How practical is that, Jeremy?
Well, the fundamental dispute at the base of all of this is the fact that there is no state, actually. I mean, Gaza is technically not a state and is not internationally recognized. And, there has to be a political resolution to the question of the Palestinian people and their need for a state. So there is no military solution to that fundamental underlying problem.
But how do you have a political resolution with a group whose fundamental tenet is that you don't have a right to exist? I mean, I was listening to BBC yesterday, and they were interviewing some of the folks from the government in Hamas, with Hamas in Gaza, and they were saying, we want an end to the bombing, we want peace, and we want our land back. Now, that's a euphemism for we want Israel to vanish, is it not?
Right, and as you pointed out, this is not unusual in the course of human history, right? Certainly Yasser Arafat and the PLO 20 to 25 years ago were saying the exact same things, and they ultimately came to the table. They ultimately, reached the Oslo Accords. It didn't result in a final status agreement, but we sure came a lot closer than we ever have before. And there's every indication that there are folks who are affiliated with the Hamas movement who are open to some level of negotiation and to an ultimate political resolution. So I think that kind of rhetoric is only to be expected from a group who is, in fact, leading a movement of liberation. And I don't think that if you simply leave it at that, you're, as we discussed earlier, taking into account all of the nuances and the potential openings here for resolving the problem.
Well, they may view themselves as a liberation movement. I guarantee you that the Israelis living near Gaza consider them a terrorist group, and the vast majority of Israelis do. Although, as I said, there is, you know, and this is a real testimonial to the vitality of the democracy in Israel. There's a huge debate going on in the newspapers, particularly Haaretz, about, you know, how this should be handled and what should be done. But how do you bring about, and perhaps it's a rhetorical question. I mean, we've seen it with the IRA in Ireland. We've seen it, as you point out, with Fatah, with the PLO on the West Bank and in Israel, and now Palestine, you know, the formation of a Palestinian state. Wasn't there an opportunity, or hasn't there been an opportunity over the last few years to nurture and work with and support the moderate elements within Hamas and help bring them to greater prominence and to greater power and marginalize the crazies and the rocket launchers?
Yes, I think that there has been. And I think that, you know, instead, you know, the Israelis would say that, you know, over the last 6 months that Hamas used the opportunity of the truce to arm itself and to bring in more munitions. But, you know, what did Israel use the 6 months to do? They used the 6 months to plan this operation and to gather all the intelligence they could on every single Hamas installation and institution so they could take it out in one fell swoop. So I don't think, you know, there's no good side in all of this. I don't think that either side has all clean hands. I think
so both sides blew it, and neither side was actually working in good faith to create a peaceful and functioning democratic government in Gaza.
Neither side was doing that. And, you know, as you said, the Israelis say, well, how can we possibly sit down with a group that is dedicated to our extinction? And the other side says, how can we possibly sit down with a group that has an oppressive occupation that's denying us food, fuel, and basic necessities? So I think there's two narratives, unfortunately, to this conflict.
Yeah, if there ever was a time for an international group, you know, arguably the United States, but maybe going back to the quartet, the UN, the U.S., Russia, stepping in and saying, you know, we're here. Maybe now is the time. Jeremy Benamy, JStreet.org. Thanks, Jeremy.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. And our conservative alert for the day, John Bolton. Yes, John Bolton in an interview with the UK paper The Telegraph. This is Bush's former UN ambassador and frequent guest on this show. John Bolton, one of our favorite conservative crackpots, claims that 100 years from now, people won't remember Guantanamo Bay or Abu Ghraib. Right. I have a feeling they will, A. And B, you know, actually, this is kind of a good sign because it indicates that John Bolton has finally figured out that this is that Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo are bad things, that they're worthy of saying, well, people won't remember that. 866-303-2270, your telephone number. Jeremy in Miami, Florida. Hey, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
Fine. What's up?
I just wanted to thank you for having on Jeremy Ben-Ademy. From J Street, and so, you know, I've always been a fan of your show, and it's definitely possible to be pro-peace and pro-Israeli. I've been it my whole life, and I really grew up crying every time I saw violence on either side, and it's sad. It's always very sad to see how extremism can really terrorize people and really lead to so much instability and chaos and suffering.
Yeah, it really is, and well said, Jeremy. Thank you. I am concerned that that this response, this, as Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France, characterized it, a disproportionate response, this overwhelming response, this death of several hundred people response, including women and children, is over the long term. I mean, over the short term, it might accomplish the goal of stopping the rocket attacks into southern Israel, which had so far, as best I know, killed only one person, most of those rockets landing in empty fields. Arguably more symbolic than a real effort at military action. But it may stop that, and it may cripple Hamas, and it may even lead to the collapse of Hamas in its current form in Gaza. But when you kill people, they have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and aunts and uncles, and they don't forget. And I am just very, very concerned that what Israel is doing right now is creating the next generation of Palestinian terrorists, you know, suicide bombers, that this is a huge recruiting tool. And many of the countries in the region, you had two prime ministers, or two members of parliament, rather, MPs, in Jordan day before yesterday, a Christian and a Muslim, holding an Israeli flag and burning it in front of parliament. And then a whole bunch of members of parliament came up to step on it, which is, you know, the old shoe thing in a Muslim society. This is not good. This is not good. And so I'm just really concerned that the whole Israeli-Palestinian situation, the last president of the United States to seriously deal with this was Jimmy Carter, to really, really try and bring this together and bring something out of this. And we have to reengage. We have to get engaged. And we need to bring along the United Nations, and we need to bring along Russia. And you know, it's just a very straightforward, and other countries, frankly, and the European Union. Along with the European Union, that's the quartet, the famous quartet. Jeff in Lansing, Michigan. Hey, Jeff. Jeff, you're on the air.
I'm sorry. Hi, Tom.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Yeah. Oh, I just wanted to say, you know, forgive me if I'm wrong, and I probably am, but, you know, I'm 55 years old, and this has been going on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And every American president since I've been able to vote has, you know, had the platform they're going to bring peace to the Middle East, and it doesn't happen. I mean, we've had the two leaders on stage shaking hands, saying enough is enough, and never enough is enough.
Yeah.
And I guess my question is, when does the United States and the rest of the world say, you know what, you guys are on your own. You got to do something about this. I mean, we're looking at a country. We got a new president. Everybody is engaged. We've got so many problems here. And now his plate is even more full because everybody's looking to him
to resolve this crisis. Here's the problem. If we walk away from the Middle East, number one, this is our oil supply. 90% I think it's 98% or maybe it's 95%, but I mean, whatever it is, of our transportation in the United States is fueled by oil, and we import over a third of our oil from the Middle East, or the Middle East is supplying a third of the world's oil, and we import more than half of our oil. And so, A, we've got that problem. B, you've got Israel is a longtime ally of the United States, a strong and important ally of the United States, in many regards a stabilizing influence in the Middle East, a democracy planted right in the middle of the Middle East. And yet they are surrounded by, in many cases, states that say that they should not exist and are calling for the extermination of the state and its residents. And so this is, you know, it's like a room full of gas fumes with a pilot light nearby, and you know, we've got to come in and open the windows and get, and this is a lousy metaphor, but I mean, you know, it's just too explosive a situation for us to walk away from. If we do, it will melt down. And you do. And by the way, Israel is nuclear armed, and so is Pakistan. I mean, you know, which is not right there in their backyard, but you have, you know, there is a Muslim state that has nuclear. I mean, this is the kind of thing that could lead, and Jeff, your point is well taken, but it could lead to a World War I scenario where you have one trigger and then you have a bunch of loyalties or treaties interlocking other countries that bring other nations into this, and you end up with a world war, which I know is, you know, what the Jerry Falwell types of the world very much want. Right? They want that war to happen in Israel. They want Israel to be nuked or bombed because then they think it's going to bring back Jesus. But it's, you know, the rest of the world is saying, and there's a few Muslims who think that it's going to, you know, it's going to bring back, you know, whatever. And but it's the broad consensus is that's not a good way to engage foreign policy. Frank in Los Angeles. Hey, Frank.
Yeah, I'm going to have a different perspective. You know, these people, these so-called Palestinians, which they're not Palestinians. There was no such thing in the whole world. They just call themselves. And our squatters that were kicked out of Lebanon, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, do you think those countries will take them back? They kicked them out because they're rebels. And Gaza was owned by Egypt at one time when they gave it up to the to these refugees, these squatters, because they couldn't handle them.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that when you send over 100 rockets a day into Israel, what response do you think Israel should have? Or what response do you think the United States should have if one other country did the same to us? You know, they're trying to meddle into Middle East affairs, and it's not going to happen because unless the two parties agree to something, it's not. You can't force them to do anything. And the fact is that Sadat came to peace with Israel after he realized that he was fighting the wars for all the other Arabs and countries and suffering all the casualties.
Yeah,
they
so
lost over 10,000 men, young men, during these wars, and he figured out, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. What is he doing this for? And he signed a peace treaty with Israel that cost him his life.
Yeah, I know. I was in Egypt the week that Sadat was assassinated. I'm very familiar with that.
Unless you've been to Israel, you don't know what's happening over there. And anybody that condemns Israel is an anti-Semite to begin with, because the Arabs have no claim to the Middle East. They never lived on the West Bank and Gaza in over 2,000 years. So
Frank,
I don't know
are you and I squatters in the United States?
We are. But
okay.
I was born here, so I'm not a squatter. If you came over to this country,
okay. So a Palestinian who was born in Israel or in the West Bank or in Gaza is not a squatter. Is that your definition?
Well, the thing is, their parents are squatters. So if they brought them in, it's just
okay.
Like
what if their parents were born
into
there?
This country and having their children born in this country, the same difference. They were never
See,
there.
Thing, Frank. I mean, that area. You can go back. You know, there's a variety of different competing histories, but you can go back a couple of thousand years, and you can find. Well, oh, this is an Arab area. No. This is a Jewish area.
No,
it was controlled by the Christians for a while. Remember at the Crusades? Maybe everybody since then is squatters because they had a lot of children. I mean, I'm sorry. Frank, I'm just not buying it, and I don't think the people who are concerned that this is the wrong policy are anti-Semitic, and if they are, there's a lot of anti-Semites in Israel because that's where the debate is happening the hottest and the hardest. Jeremy in Los Angeles. Hey, Jeremy.
Hi, Tom. Thank you very much for opening up a possibility of a creative space because I'm a Jewish American, and so there's two states in the world that speak for me. One is the United States of America, and the other is Israel. And it appears to me that there are extremist criminal forces, anti-democratic forces at work within all of these entities. And I would identify them in the terms of the un-Islamo-Nazis, the not-so-Christo, not-so-crypto-fascists, and the Zionist nihilist supremacists. And I myself am a Zionist of sorts in that I believe in the idea of the possibility of Israel to grow up and become a mature nation. But what we've seen is that if we even go back a little bit in history, and you brought up a really important point about the Irgun, they blew up they used terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Rahm Emanuel is the chief of staff, the son of a terrorist. And we even look back and see that Shin Bet and Mossad helped encourage the early development of Hamas.
Yeah, it is, Jeremy, thank you. It is a long and complex history, and anybody who tries to reduce it down to black or white, pro or con, is doing us all a disservice.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for...
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evenings 8 to 11. AM 620 KBOJ. 620KBOJ.com.
Who's always there for you?
Your mum?
Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else... it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Looking for the best way to get around in severe winter weather? Then get into Car Vancouver for our four-wheel drive severe winter sale. Gas prices are falling, and so are the sale prices at Car Vancouver. Right now, drive home a new GMC four-wheel drive Yukon XL for just $32,995. That's right, cut through the weather in a fully loaded SLT Yukon XL with leather, navigation, DVD, and sunroof for just $32,995. That's over $18,000 off MSRP. Car Vancouver has hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and credit is never an issue. Good credit, bad credit, no problem. Car Cadillac GMC Pontiac Buick, where salaried salespeople see it your way. Just off SR 500 and Andreessen on 4th Plain, two blocks west of the Vancouver Auto Mall. GMC, we are professional grade. MSRP 51005, sale price after $9,000 in rebates, VIN number 8J142178.
Back to programming in a minute, but first, listen to this. Since the New York Mint is releasing to the public classic U.S. gold coins, there's a number you can call for free historical information and a free DVD. But first, it says that during the Great Depression, people were greedy for gold coins because no one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. The government finally took them out of circulation, and a government meltdown was ordered. That's why most of us have never even seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a stash was discovered in Europe. Gleaming U.S. gold coins minted between 1866 and 1933, all uncirculated. It says the New York Mint is releasing them to the public on a first-come, first-served basis when you call, here it is, 1-800-500-8257. Wouldn't that be amazing to hold U.S. history? Okay, if you want that free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-500-8257. 1-800-500-8257.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Program brought to you by you, our listeners, supporting our show, your radio station, and our advertisers. Let them know that you're listening. Well, the one of the senior, most well-respected, serious contenders for chairmanship of the Republican National Committee, a guy by the name of Chip Saltzman, as part of his campaign, sent out a CD to other Republicans, all the Republicans, I guess the Republican equivalent of superdelegates, whatever it is, the folks in the RNC who are going to vote on who's going to be the head of the RNC. And Chip Salzman's CD, his music CD, was a whole bunch of songs making fun of, ridiculing, and trashing, basically, liberals, including the song made famous by Rush Limbaugh, Barack the Magic Negro, sung to the tune of Puff the Magic Dragon. So, having had Peter Yarrow, who co-authored Puff the Magic Dragon, in our studio a couple of times, and what a great guy and a brilliant musician and a fine and decent human being, I wanted to get Peter on and get his response to this. OperationRespect.org, his favorite website, and Peter Yarrow, of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and co-author of Puff the Magic Dragon. Peter, welcome to the show.
It's good to be with you again, my friend. I'm calling from Colorado, but I left a bit of my heart right where you are.
Yeah, it was wonderful having you in the studio here. Yeah. Both the last two times you were here, you know, playing live music for us and everything. It's just anyway, Puff the Magic Dragon, Barack the Magic Negro. This is over the top.
Well, you know, like to be realistic about it, I knew about this during the campaign. During the campaign, that kind of exchange was very much the order of the day on many levels. I mean, there was so much that was insulting that was being hurled back and forth, though I must say, and we must note, that Barack Obama, now President-elect Barack Obama, never stooped to respond in kind to those to the insults, the ridicule that were thrown at him. It just he kept his center. Now, to do this in the and Rush Limbaugh did this, had it on his program during that. You just have to very wearily, you know, accept the fact that's the way it is. But now we have a president-elect who has said, "I'm going to reach out to all sectors of the political spectrum. I want civility," and has modeled that. Now, to send that out for by Salzman to the members of the Republican National Committee is tantamount to repudiating the attempt of President-elect Barack Obama to say, "We will talk with sensitivity, with respect, with the kind of comity that is expected of elected leaders." Mm. The point is that now, sending that out this Christmas, believe it or not, a children's song parody to people is and members of the Republican National Committee is insulting the presidency. Or the president-elect and the presidency, therefore, it's a different thing.
Yeah. Well, and also there's a real big difference between a talk show host and, you know, here I am one. But nonetheless, there's a huge difference between a talk show host who has no official affiliation with a political party and really no standing in an election other than just the ability to speak as any other citizen. Speak to a lot of people, granted, but nonetheless, you know, neither Rush Limbaugh nor I are spokespeople for a party. There's a huge difference between a talk show host playing this song, as offensive as that may be, and a candidate for chairman of the Republican National Committee playing this song. And not just playing this song, but sending it out as a Christmas gift to all of his potential supporters in an effort to get elected. I mean, he apparently thinks that this is the kind of thing that gets you elected as president of the RNC. Well, not apparently. He obviously thinks that.
No, I don't think so. I think he is. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and just say he's so mindless and insensitive to the realities. And this is not him sending it to his cousins. You know, yeah. This is not family stuff. That verges into the arena of work that he has the lack of sensitivity. It's look, you have to look at this in a broader context. Kids teasing each other and bullying each other and calling each other names and ostracizing each other is a cause of extraordinary pain and pandemic childhood depression, which was unknown when I was very young, and also it's a major cause of teenage suicide and the kinds of tragedies that we saw in Columbine, Paducah, Springfield, Santee, etc., mm-hmm. where children are killing other children, which is, you know, to me, the first 9/11 in the United States when this couldn't happen here, you know, Columbine took place.
Right.
Well, if we understand that, as according to the Anti-Defamation League, this kind of ridicule is the platform on which the pyramid of hate rests, that it goes from bullying and teasing and put-downs to bias and hatred and a war and then Holocaust. Mm-hmm. That this is where it starts. Now, can you imagine a child in the family of one of these RNC families, you know, receiving the CD?
Yeah. No,
and playing it.
It's just terrible. Peter Yarrow, the singer, songwriter, activist, and co-author of Puff the Magic Dragon, condemning Barack the Magic Negro being sent out by Chip Saltzman in an effort to win the presidency of the Republican National Committee. Peter, thanks so much for dropping by today.
Oh, I was going to sing you Marvin the Magic Dago or Jared the Magic Jew Boy.
Oh, jeez. Thank you, Peter.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 6 minutes past the hour. And we will get back into our conversation about what's going on in the Middle East, maybe in a few minutes here. Kerry Lucas is on the line with us, the Vice President for Policy and Economics with the International Women's Forum, IWF.org. Hey, Kerry.
Hey, how are you doing? Merry Christmas.
I'm just fine. Thank you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, perhaps more appropriately, as that's happening this week. And two bits of news. Number one, in fact, I get the last time we talked, you were calling from Austria. What's going on in Austria?
Well, you know, Christmas season is just ending. Austrians are real good at that, but I'm back here stateside, which has been nice to be back on home turf. So
yeah.
It's been fun for the holidays.
But you're living in Austria now, right?
Yes, my husband and I have moved over there.
My
husband is with the State Department, so we'll be there for 2 years.
That is great. That is great.
Yeah.
Louise and I and our three kids lived in Germany for a year, and it was just it was a wonderful time and an extraordinary experience. You know, living in a country that doesn't speak English and B that part of the world is great. I spent a lot of time in Vienna. I haven't been through much of the rest of Austria, but it's a beautiful country from what I've seen of it.
It is. We're struggling to learn German too, though. It's tough.
Yeah, vielleicht wir nur muss Deutsch sprechen jetzt.
You just topped anything I can do for sure.
Okay. And my German is really, ich habe nur Deutsch, nur Straßendeutsch. I only speak street German. I never studied it. So my German is just pretty terrible. But also I understand that you're expecting.
Yes, I'm having another baby due late in April. So.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you.
That is great. So, we're talking with Kerry Lucas, the VP of the Independent Women's Forum, IWF.org. And you have an article which is going to be published in National Review Online tomorrow called A Modest Conservative Wish List for 2009. What are conservatives hoping for, Kerry?
I don't know. what other conservatives are hoping for, but I think it's important to, you know, always have a little bit of hope when it comes to policy. And I do think that there should be some areas of agreement moving forward, and especially with some of the tough financial times we've faced with having to spend all this money on bailouts, which has been a bipartisan decision to really pump a lot of money and increase our national debt in the process. The one thing I really hope that President Obama and the Democratic majority in Congress will start looking at is looking at ways to reduce our long-term liabilities. And one of those, a quick way to wipe off several trillion dollars off of the implicit national debt would be to do a little bit of changing to Social Security. This wouldn't have to affect certainly current retirees or even near-term retirees. But for those of us who are early enough in our working lives, we know the government has overpromised when it comes to Social Security benefits. So I think we could really all stand some changes down the road and give us plenty of time so we can prepare. But we need to become more realistic about what the government's going to provide us all at retirement.
Carrie, do you think it's appropriate that if somebody makes over $100,000 a year, that they pay a top marginal tax rate of 35-36% now, and that if Bill Gates some guy who runs a hedge fund in New York makes $100 million a year, that he should also pay 35-36% top marginal rate?
I know what you're talking about is the fact that Social Security, that the payroll tax is currently capped at around $100,000, so that those who are who make way in excess of that are no longer paying payroll taxes. And the reason why that is in place is because the benefits you receive, Social Security is not supposed to be a welfare program. It's supposed to be an earned benefit, so that
amount
of money you're putting in.
Social Security is an insurance program. It was named that. It's right in the name of it. Read the original act. And a third of all Social Security benefits, by the way, don't go to people who are retired. Fully a third of all Social Security benefits go to people like my friend Michael Hutchison, who broke his neck when he was out jogging and is now paraplegic in Santa Fe and is living on Social Security. A third of Social Security benefits literally go for widows, orphans, and disabled people. This is an insurance program.
Yeah, but I
program.
Think, you know, even that. When Social Security was being conceived of, President Roosevelt recognized that we need this to be something that still makes financial sense. This isn't supposed to be. This is why it's done on a separate payroll tax. I'm sure you have insurance, and people out there make responsible decisions about getting themselves insured. But surely you wouldn't be paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for an insurance policy that gives you a very small portion of your in an event like a.
It's insurance against poverty and old age. It's insurance against poverty and old age, and this was
making $100 million. I don't think they should be paying $1 million a year so that they're guaranteed to get $20,000 when they're in their 60s. It does make sense to have some limits to how much people are paying into Social Security so that it's not just a welfare program.
But Carrie, if somebody is making $100 million, they are tremendously benefiting from this society we call the United States of America. They're deriving enormous benefit from all the infrastructure and all the other pieces of it, and they are even more interrelated with all of us. I don't see why they should have any less obligation to pay taxes than you or me.
Well, they are paying an incredible portion of taxes. When you look at our tax rate, has become the share of taxes paid by those in the very top, in the upper 1% of our income earners, has grown during the Bush administration. It is
so is their income. That's because their income has grown. But that's because their income has grown. But here's, and in fact, I can't speak for the nation, but here in Oregon, we find that the people in the top 1% of income are paying fewer taxes than people in the bottom 95%. But the point is that if you were saying Social Security is going down the tubes and it's overpromised, the fact of the matter is that if we taxed everybody's paycheck the same, if we had a flat tax, the flat tax you conservatives seem to so love, we simply had a flat tax where everybody pays the exact same Social Security tax, there would be enough money to fully fund Social Security, and there would be a huge surplus.
Well, but, you know, I think you need to be careful, though, because all of a sudden, if we start having levying and this incredible new tax on, yes, on high-income earners, but remember, you Democrats are going to be trying to tax them for just about everything. You know, we're going to be rolling back the Bush tax cuts and be doing more taxation of savings and investment. So you're already going to be taking the hammer to high-income earners and adding another 10% on payroll. That can have a real significant impact. Also, on things
but
like
Terry, it won't. Let me explain to you why it won't. The thing that drives an economy is demand, and demand is produced by people spending their wages. 100% the people who earn who spend 100% of their wages are the principal drivers of an economy. Now, if you raise Social Security, if you impose Social Security tax on income over $100,000. When you get into somebody who's making $1 million, $2 million, $5 million a year, there's no way they're spending all of that money. They're not spending even a fraction of all of that money. So by increasing the tax on them, you're not decreasing their spending. And the spending is what's driving the economy. That's what creates demand, is people spending their wages. So taxing
you also
the
need
wealthy.
To, but you know, the rest of that money, investment is also an incredibly important part of driving an economy. And what people who, if you're not spending that money, then you're loaning it to somebody who's doing something important with it, who is out there trying to build another home or expand their business. Investment is just as important as spending. You know,
but during the period from 1937 until 1980, when the top marginal tax rate was 71 to 91%. Yeah, on anybody who earned over $3.2 million, there was no shortage of investment capital.
But, you know, Tom, it seems strange to me. I mean, I think one of the things that we should be concerned about as a nation is the fact that we have essentially a negative savings rate. Right now,
yes.
People in general aren't saving any of their money. They're spending everything. They're spending off.
That's because wages have been collapsing.
They make. Well, but this is, people need to start, you know, wages, I'm going to assume for a second that you're right and that wages are collapsing. Then
so
we need
let's,
to be telling people, gosh,
wage.
You don't have to, going out there and blowing all your money on consumables is not the way for anybody's either individual financial health or for the health of the nation as a country. We should start being a little more frugal both on the government level and, you know, instead of just focusing on raising taxes. You know, it's funny that whenever we talk about Social Security, everybody is always saying, well, we need to raise taxes. And, well, why don't instead we start looking at doing some sensible benefit cuts and let's just get the wealthy. You don't
because
like
people
wealthy.
Living on Social Security, Carrie, are hanging on by the skin of their teeth. They're right on the edge.
You're getting Social Security is more the rich get more money from Social Security than the poor do.
But
why
there's
don't we
very few rich.
And,
it's
really
pretty meaningless
the
for them.
Of those who are at the upper incomes. Well, Bill Gates is going to be getting Social Security checks. So that hedge fund
right. Bill
manager.
Gates and 300,000 people.
Why don't we talk about his benefits instead of just raising his taxes?
Yeah, but it's well okay, we're out of time. I guess I can't make my point. You have the last word, Carrie
okay,
Lucas,
well, thank you.
The VP for Policy and Economics at the Independent Women's Forum, IWF.org. A modest conservative wish list for 2009. You'll find it over at IWF.org and NRO. Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks so much,
and,
Tom.
And good luck with your new one on the way. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
Are you waking up with Carl Wolfson and friends?
These are less popular suggestions. Abraham Lincoln.
6 to 9.
The Obama's first dog, what name it could be.
Promise, because he promised the girls and he promised us.
Elephant eater.
How about lipstick?
How about rogue?
You've got to have southpaw. I'd like to give it a local name and name it Mutt Safino, the weather dog.
It's Carl Wolfson.
As Abraham Lincoln said.
Morning 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Men, listen carefully. If you suffer from any type of erectile dysfunction, Oregon Male Performance Clinic can help you now, regardless of your age or medical history. If you want to perform for 45 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes, or longer, call 503-443-1000 in Portland. There's no pain or surgery, just the newest available safe and effective medications given to you by one of our licensed Oregon physicians. Our doctors are so sure you will have a positive reaction to our medication on the first visit that if you don't, it's free, guaranteed. In Portland, call 503-443-1000 now. If you want to perform for up to 90 minutes or longer, or if you suffer from PE, it doesn't matter what medications or health problems you have. If Viagra and Cialis have let you down, in Portland, call 503-443-1000 today and see why our patients now have happy, healthy, complete sex lives.
How much could you be saving on car insurance? $300, $400, $500? There's a real easy way to find out. Just go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Now's the best time to shop online for great half-price deals. All week long, go to HalfPriceThursday.com and find bargains on tanning, dining, family fun, and much, much more. Visit HalfPriceThursday.com to find the best deals in Portland.
My name is Dee Dee Williams. I'm one of thousands of disabled Oregonians, and I have a message for you. Drivers with disabilities don't want your pity. We just want our parking. When you're looking for a parking space and see an open one with a familiar blue sign, please don't park there unless you have a permit. It's just wrong. It's also illegal and could get you a hefty fine and a tow. I depend on those spots so I can go about my everyday life, just like you. When I don't have access to those spots, it takes me much more time and energy to get things done. And for me, having to cross the parking lot could put my safety at risk and possibly yours too. You don't need to pity me, but when you see the blue sign, please stay out of that disabled parking space if you're not disabled.
It's simple, really. No permit, no parking. This message brought to you by the Northwest ADA and Information Technology Center at OHSU. On the web at nwada.org.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Helping you win the water cooler wars, Tom Hartman here with you, 21 minutes past the hour. So what do you do if you're just a good Italian small-time crook and small businessman and you buy a radio station and then a TV station and then another radio station? And then another TV station and a newspaper or two, and then another radio station, and then a radio network, and then a TV network, and then another radio network, and another TV network, and you end up owning 95% of all the media in your country, or at least the media in your country that you own represents 95% of everything that's listened to and read by the citizens of the country. What do? You run for prime minister. And that's what Silvio Berlusconi did, and he's won now 3 times, I think. But now he has a new plan. Believe it or not, Silvio Berlusconi, a brand new plan. Italy is one of those countries that has separated the functions of head of government and head of state. The head of state, the guy who cuts ribbons and does ceremonial stuff and is out there representing the country, that's the president. The president has no power. The head of government, the guy who signs legislation and argues, politics, that's the prime minister. Well, Berlusconi pretty much can't run for prime minister again and probably won't be able to. So he's suggesting that Italy change its constitution and flip to a presidential system like the United States and France have so that he can become president.
Stein of
It just never ends. Silvio Berlusconi, an unending thought of weird conservative, I don't know, whatever. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Dave in Los Angeles. Hey, Dave, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. On the Social Security issue, I got to say I'm always somewhat amused when I hear the younger people say to quantify it, X generation, Y generation, talk negatively about Social Security. In fact, I watched on C-SPAN years ago when the issue was hot, the college Republicans be addressed by a gentleman who said, do you want to pay for all the baby boomers on the golf courses?
Right.
And, of course, he whipped up the room.
Yeah.
But I find it amusing because as they progress in their careers, they're going to want the baby boomers to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're already in trouble because the retirement age in some cases has been raised up to 72 for Social Security.
Yeah, that's a good point. That means that there's a lot of jobs that are not being opened up to people in their 20s and 30s.
Those corner offices are not going to open up, and they'll find themselves redlined by a bunch. And there's going to be huge frustration and a lot of resentment because of that toward the boomers.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. Thank you very much, Dave. Interesting point. In addition to all the others, let's have a Social Security insurance program for people who are injured, for widows, for orphans, against old age poverty. And, at the time that Roosevelt passed Social Security, one of the leading causes of death among people over 60, over 65 in the United States, was hypothermia in the winter, freezing to death, and hunger in the summer. And Social Security pretty much did away with that. And, yeah, there's 300,000 or 400,000 people in the United States who earn over $1 million a year, and all of them will get a $500, $600, $800 a month Social Security check. So what? It's only a couple hundred thousand people. The really rich in this country are a meaningless number when it comes to Social Security. The reason conservatives want to means test it, the reason they want to say, oh, you don't get Social Security if you earn over a certain amount, is A, so that they can justify not taxing people who earn over a certain amount, and B, so they can start calling it a welfare program, and everybody knows what happens to welfare programs. They get cut first. John in Hood River, Oregon. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom, I got a challenge for you.
Okay.
You mentioned in your first hour that anybody that says the issue of Israel and Palestine is black and white does a disservice to the two sides, and even, I think he said, even to the world as a whole. So
yes.
My challenge to you is give me 3 days of your time. Come with me to Israel and Palestine, the West Bank. And you'll come back saying it is a black and white issue.
John, I probably spent cumulatively a half a year in Israel and several months in Jordan and in Egypt and in the surrounding territories. Back in 81, my best friend and the guy who was the executive director of the program I started in New Hampshire, the New England Salem Children's Trust, Hal Cohen and his wife, went over to Israel and started Or Shalom. And I went over a lot over the following years and helped build that organization. It is now the largest child caring institution in the country. It was exclusively Jewish kids that it cared for the first 10, 15 years of its life. Now they have homes for abused and orphaned Muslim kids, for Orthodox kids, for secular, secular homes, the whole thing. It is the largest child caring institute. You check it out, orshalom.il, and I believe they've got a .org website. I am very familiar with Israel, and I'm very familiar with the Middle East. And I'll tell you, if I'd like to take you over there, because if you actually get to know the people, if you actually live on the ground there for a while and get to know a broad spectrum of Israeli people, you will discover that there is a wide variety of opinion. And I'd suggest you read Haaretz a little bit. You might, the liberal paper there, and then read the Jerusalem Post. It's all out there for you to see. 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do. And I blame you. No one bites back as hard on their anger. None of my pain or woe can show through. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be.
Welcome back to your radio support group for We the People. Tom Hartman here with you. Yeah, well, this woman in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, she thought maybe she was a little crazy living in Plains Township there. One day a computer vanished from her house, a laptop and an iPod, and the next day she noticed footprints on the floor of her closet. She looked up and saw the trapdoor to the attic and thought, Turns out a 21-year-old guy by the name of Carter, they list his last name here in the story, but I don't see his first name. Anyhow, this guy, last name Carter, was living in their attic for 4 days before Christmas, coming down at night for food and stealing things. Totally creeped him out. Yeah, I can understand that. I can really understand that. Anyhow, I was going off on this thing about Israel, I just want to make it really clear. I've spent a lot of time in that part of the world. One of my best friends lives in Mishreim, the ultra-Orthodox part of Jerusalem. I shouldn't get into long stories. Last time I was there, actually, it was just a few years ago, I spoke at Hebrew University. I was one of the speakers. I did a workshop and taught a conference on attention deficit disorder. That month, by coincidence, which made me very few friends among some of my more conservative friends in Jerusalem, I was on the cover of Tikkun magazine. At that time, I was the editorial board, the advisory board for Michael Lerner's magazine. I no longer am because I just can't write for the magazine regularly. But I wrote a cover story for it. That was a little weird, actually, being in Jerusalem the same week you're on the cover story of Tikkun, because Tikkun is persona non grata in large parts of Israel. So anyway, yes, I am familiar with the area. I'm familiar with the politics of the area and the people. Johnny in San Francisco. Hey, Johnny.
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, listen, it seems to me that it should be very obvious to anyone that this strikes, this type of retaliation, this type of reaction is so damaging to the Israeli people, to any Jewish person, to Americans, anyone that's tied to it. That's unbelievable to me that anyone can support this kind of overreaction. This is a massacre as seen around the world as a Jewish massacre against these Palestinian people who seem to be already under incredible, what do you call it? I mean, you know, they're suffering incredibly from being displaced already, and then you go and bomb them, even though they do have the right to defend themselves, the Israelis. But don't you do it with some kind of precision, with some kind of, you know, with some kind of temperance or whatever, you know, something equitable to what has been done to them?
Yeah. Well, this is the problem, is that the description that you just gave, while it would be disputed by probably many, if not most Israelis, is the meme. It's the story that is going out across the Muslim world, which is a billion people. And that is not helping Israel. So I would argue, you know, whether or not it's a fact that, I mean, it is a fact that this is a huge and overwhelming response. And, you know, the United Nations has called for an immediate ceasefire. The UN Security Council without dissent, which includes the United States' vote. You know, there are some very real concerns about this. You know, what is being done and is just, you know, way out of proportion. Is this the best thing for Israel? I mean, just looking at it from an Israeli point of view. And frankly, I think that over the long term, over the short term, you know, it's going to help conservatives get elected in the February 10th elections and, you know, all that sort of thing. But and it may put a kink in Hamas's bonnet, as it were. But I think that over the long term, Johnny, this is going to just further inflame the region. It's going to create a whole new generation of suicide bombers. And if they get rid of Hamas, sometimes, you know, be careful what you wish for. They may end up with something even worse. These are some of the analysis from Haaretz, the Jerusalem-based Israeli newspaper, arguably the most influential newspaper in the country. I would say Haaretz and Jerusalem Post are probably the two competitors for being the left-wing and right-wing, respectively, papers. One analysis on Sunday. And by the way, there's a great summary of these in Greg Mitchell's blog. He's the editor and publisher magazine. And his blog is over on Huffington Post. Attack on Gaza, as usual, U.S. media and most liberals silent as Israeli newspapers raises doubts. And that's the title. And he quotes a number of these. And, you know, good on him for going back and reading it. But you can read it online, by the way. Haaretz.com, I'm pretty sure, is the website. This from one analysis, 1.5 million human beings, most of them downcast and desperate refugees, live in the conditions of a giant jail, fertile ground for another round of bloodletting. The fact that Hamas may have gone too far with its rockets is not the justification of the Israeli policy for the past few decades, for which it justly merits an Iraqi shoe to the face. That is from an Israeli commentator in Israel, in Israel's arguably most influential newspaper. Another one, Zvi Berel writes, 6 months ago, Israel asked and received a ceasefire from Hamas. It unilaterally violated it when it blew up a tunnel. This, by the way, was on Christmas Eve, it was on Election Day here in the United States. And so most Americans just, you know, were completely unaware of this. When it blew up a tunnel, while still asking Egypt to get the Islamic group to hold its fire. Another columnist, Yossi Sadi, says, I can only hope that this time for a change we will know when to stop. This war must be described from the get-go as a war to be on the safe side rather than of necessity, and it is still unclear whether the last missile fired will be fired by us or them. Daniel Levy, who once served as an advisor to Ehud Barak, says, I don't know, I don't see how this ends well, even if in 2 weeks' time it looks like it ends well. So I'm telling you, there is an active and passionate debate going on within Israel about whether or not this is the appropriate response. And I find it interesting that whenever people try to have a discussion about this in the United States, they get shouted down. I'm already getting hate mail, email from both sides. You know, how dare you defend Israel? They're murderous thugs on the one hand. Or how dare you say that Israel's doing anything wrong in this? You must be an anti-Semite on the other hand. I'm sorry, it is neither. It is not that black and white. It is just not. Tim in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for everything that you do. I just wanted to add to the discussion and say that basically I don't know how anybody can make the claim that Palestinians don't have rightful claim to their land since they were living there. I mean, it's just ridiculous to me. And the fact that it's obvious that ever since 1946 and 47, Israel has been on a campaign to drive the Palestinians from that land.
But see,
Gaza Strip.
Tim, are you going?
Gaza Strip is now the biggest concentration camp in the world, and what is going on is not war but extermination.
Yeah. Okay. I would not call it extermination, but I do believe my opinion about Gaza and the way that the Israelis have been handling Gaza is that it is just it's over the top. They it is being run like a prison camp. and, you know, cutting off supplies to them and trying to, what they're trying to do is put the screws to Hamas. They're trying to get, they're hoping that if they can make life miserable enough for the Gazans, for the people living in Gaza, the Palestinians living in Gaza, that they can, that those people will say, okay, we give, we're going to throw off Hamas. And history indicates that that's usually not how it plays out. And that's my concern about this policy. I just don't, I don't think that this policy that's been going on for the last couple of years has been the wisest course for Israel. Just like I don't think the policy that we've been pursuing in Iraq and Afghanistan is the wisest policy for the United States. You can't bomb people into liking you. You can't starve them into liking you. It doesn't work. Mary in Lafayette, California. Hey, Mary, we've got a minute before the break. What's up?
Oh, boy. The last guy was just so right on, and so are you, about how much good it is not doing to do this to Gaza. And it just occurred to me out walking my dog yesterday, the point is the Palestinian people of Gaza are themselves being punished for having had the gall to vote for Hamas when they were tired of having Fatah, who's very corrupt. And
right, Fatah was all kinds of corrupt, and Hamas was building schools, they were feeding people, they were running
exactly.
An old age program. I mean, of course people are going to say, hey, I'm going to vote for the people who give me cooking oil and food. And that's what happened. And the,
yeah.
and if Israel and the international community had embraced Hamas at that point and said, okay, we're going to help you become a democratic institution, then
were elected. They
yeah, and it was just this wonderful. Thank you, Mary. It was this wonderful moment where we could have said, you know, the IRA in Ireland is no longer considered a terrorist organization. Menachem Begin's organization that arguably founded Israel, blew up the King David Hotel, no longer considered a terrorist organization. Let's bring these people into the fold. But no, we've been starving them.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTV.
Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
Ed Schultz.
Is this the man?
No, this is the man talking to the man. Ed Schultz, what's going on?
Noon to 3.
Barack Obama with us. I know you voted for the farm bill. Can you speak to the folks in the heartland on ag and energy?
I come from the heartland, and I come from an agricultural state. My record goes back 10 years.
The Ed Schultz Show.
What I'm most concerned about are family farmers and family ranchers.
Noon to 3.
We've got to make sure that they're getting help, not just big agribusiness.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Online at 620KPOJ.com.
Looking for the best way to get around in severe winter weather? Then get into Car Vancouver for our four-wheel drive severe winter sale. Gas prices are falling, and so are the sale prices at Car Vancouver. Right now, drive home a new GMC four-wheel drive Yukon XL for just $32,995. That's right, cut through the weather in a fully loaded SLT Yukon XL with leather, navigation, DVD, and sunroof for just $32,995. That's over $18,000 off MSRP. Car Vancouver has hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and credit is never an issue. Good credit, bad credit, no credit, no problem. Car Cadillac GMC Pontiac Buick, where salaried salespeople see it your way. Just off SR 500 and Andreessen on 4th Plain, two blocks west of the Vancouver Auto Mall. GMC, we are professional grade. MSRP 51005, sale price after $9,000 in rebates, VIN number 8J142178.
So you love listening to the radio.
You love listening to it at work, in the car, in your home office, at the park, at the gym, on the train, with your girlfriend, with your boyfriend, at your kids' play. Okay, that's just wrong. But what's right is you can listen to radio on your iPhone wherever you go. All thanks to the iHeartRadio app. Download it for free at iHeartRadio.com. We think you'll heart it a lot.
AM 620 KPOJ and the Portland Police present Crime Stoppers, a public campaign against crime in the Northwest.
Joshua Jeffrey's mom and dad want to know who killed their 11-year-old son. This unsolved puzzler from the Portland Police Bureau Cold Case Unit needs your help. In August of 2001, somebody sneaked into Joshua Jeffrey's house through an unlocked back door at Southeast 48th and Bybee. Joshua was asleep in his bedroom. The intruder shot him and killed him. Joshua Jeffrey's was 11. Who killed Joshua Jeffrey's and why? Crime Stoppers is offering you a cash reward of up to $1,000. Call 823-HELP.
If you have information about this or any other crime, call the Crime Stoppers hotline at 823-HELP, 823-HELP, and help slam the door on crime. Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
When life deals you a hand, don't throw it away. And the cards that you draw are the cards that you play.
Some don't give a damn. Some give it their all. Some of us fly, but all of us fall.
Well, you could probably blame it on the Bush administration, but it wouldn't be right to say, you know, they messed with everything, right? They messed with our Constitution. They messed with the laws of the United States. Now they're messing with the clock. Yeah, we're going to add a leap second. The U.S. Naval Observatory, the keeper of the Pentagon's master clock, is going to add a second at the, you know, on the last day of December, December 31st, they're going to add a second, a leap second. Why? Because tides, snow, the lack of polar ice caps, solar wind, space dust, and magnetic storms are slowing down the Earth's rotation. Need we be concerned? I don't know. 866-303-2270, your telephone number. Herschel in Portland. Hey, Herschel.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yeah, I just kind of want to respond to the situation in Palestine and Israel too. It seems like we're kind of in this bubble there where we don't quite get the news. One of them was talking about this massacre that occurred on Palestine as kind of an inappropriate response. I mean, that's kind of a euphemism for just a real slaughter. One of the things that just troubles.
Well, hang on just a second here, Herschel. If Israel, you know, I think the time is going to tell on this thing. If Israel is actually, and I realize that there's ultimately no such thing as a surgical strike, a truly surgical strike in a densely populated area, but
right.
But it looks like the vast majority of the casualties are military age men, the vast majority of them, and so, you know, if they are applying at least a modicum of this, I'm not sure that we can yet call this, or appropriately should call this, a slaughter. It is, however, I think even if it was 100% military targets, even if it was 100% political, you know, just Hamas, I still think that it is disproportionate, and it's ultimately not in the best interest of Israel. And there are many Israelis who agree with that. And that, by the way, in my opinion, is not an anti-Israel position. I am
right.
Pro-Israel and pro-peace, and I think it is possible to be both. And also pro-Palestinian. I want there to be an independent Palestinian state that is self-governing and has some modicum of independence and functions as a state in the world, much like Israel does.
Perfect.
And it's going to take us a while to get there.
Well, the rocket thing, too. I mean, here's another part where they mention that the rocket firing goes on for 2 weeks, but really no one was killed. But it's out of context. I mean, what motivates these people to fire rockets? It's never mentioned. It's like mentioning that these people in, was it back in Michigan, United Electric, they telling the world that they're not going home. They refuse to leave the factory when there has to be a reason for these things. I mean,
and apparently the reason for this, the main reason for these rockets being fired was that Israel blasted some of the tunnels going to Egypt that supplies were coming into Gaza via, and so people are saying, hey, wait a minute, we're being starved, we can't get medical supplies, we can't get food, we can't get this, we can't get that. And
see, that part's not being mentioned, though.
No, it's not. I mean, that's the well said, Herschel, thank you very much. That's the problem. So much of the coverage on this is soundbite coverage, and so much of it is black and white, so much of it is you're with us or you're against us. It's like the George Bush way of looking at the world. And the situation in the Middle East, and it's not, by the way, just Israel. And to the caller we've had callers on both sides saying, oh, you know, the Palestinians are squatters. And then somebody else says, well, the Palestinians have always been there. They've both always been there. There have been Jews in Israel as long as there's been Jews. And there have been Palestinians in Israel, or the people who call themselves Palestinians now, as long as it's – I mean, it's just – they're all – at least the Sephardic Jews, they're all indigenous to the region. And you know, yeah, there's a lot of Ashkenazi who – but still, it's – neither one of those arguments, I'm sorry, hold water for me, particularly if it's a bunch of us, you know, Caucasians from Europe sitting around here squatting on Indian land in the United States talking about it with great, you know, self-righteous opinion. Sorry, don't buy it. Lee, on either side. Lee in Detroit. Hey, Lee. Lee, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm on the air?
You are, sir.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I wanted to speak on the Palestine and Israel statement, but you had a caller earlier and they spoke of about it being just in black and white. And excuse my nervousness because it's my first time being on your show talking to you, and I'm pleased to be doing
You're doing great.
But to me, it seems like now that Barack is the pre-elect and the African American that's going to be the first 44th president, and he spoke a lot about in his campaign about diplomacy. Now, how can we enact diplomacy in a situation that's been ongoing for so long, and it doesn't seem like war ever solves any kind of situation? And then I heard earlier you stated, excuse me, about being able to help the people over there, providing food, shelter, and things of that nature, and that might be a more of a positive approach to kind of resolve some of the issues going on there. And I probably need to do a little more of my homework on Palestine and Israel and the whole.
Well, one of the reasons that when Bill Clinton goes to Israel, he's a rock star, Lee, is because – or to Ireland, if I said Israel, is that he's a rock star, is because there was this long-standing conflict. And by long-standing, I'm talking about several hundred years in between the people in Northern Ireland who were by and large descendants of British occupying military forces in Ireland from 200-300 years ago. And who are Protestant, and the indigenous Catholics of Ireland. And again, to call these folks indigenous, you go back 3,000 years, and there was a whole different tribe that was living in those islands, but 4,000 or 5,000 years before the Celts came in and swept through the region. But nonetheless, the Irish Catholic, the Catholic Irish, hated the British Protestants who were living in the northern part of the island of Ireland. And they had partitioned this thing, and you had the Irish Republican Army, the Catholics, who were committing acts of violence against the Protestants, and on it went. And what happened was that Bill Clinton came in there. Now, granted, he was building on 40 or 50 years of diplomacy and attempts to pull this thing together. But Bill Clinton came in as an outside party, as a clean broker in some ways, and helped pull together both sides of that and ended that whole, to a large extent, that whole dispute. We can do that.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the True People's Radio, the Tom Hartman Program. Ed Rampell is with us announced the L.A.-based film critic, historian, critic, and author of the book Progressive Hollywood, A People's Film History of the United States. His website, politicalfilmcritics.blogspot.com. And Ed, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you to announce this year's Progies.
Yes, indeed. The Progies, this is the James Agee Cinema Circle, and the outstanding awards to honor outstanding movies of conscience and consciousness. Is that the summary of it?
Absolutely. We decided that we should honor movies for their progressive political content. I mean, after all, Hollywood gives films awards for its costumes, for its special effects. And we thought the most important thing is the meaning, the message, what a film says about the human condition. And one of our nominees this year has to do a lot with what you've been talking about much of today, the whole Arab-Israeli conflict. And that's a animated film, actually an Israeli film called Waltz with Bashir.
Interesting. Which award did it win, or which was it nominated for?
It's nominated in several categories. The Progie Award for Best Progressive Picture is called the Trumbo, and that's named after Dalton Trumbo, who was one of the Hollywood Ten, the blacklisted filmmakers. And Dalton helped break the blacklist around 1960 when he got screen credit for Spartacus, and interestingly enough, in light of what's going on now, for Exodus.
Right.
And the nominees for the Trumbo, there was actually a tie, so instead of five, we have six. And Waltz with Bashir, which is an animated Israeli film about the 1982 invasion in Lebanon, is one of the six contenders. Mm-hmm. And the others are Milk, about the first gay politician elected to a high post, an openly gay politician, Harvey Milk. Che, the story, the biopic by Steven Soderbergh starring Benicio del Toro about Che Guevara, the guerrilla revolutionary. Battle in Seattle.
It's about the WTO.
Exactly.
Protests. Great.
The Visitor. Mm-hmm. And Wendy and Lucy, the story of a homeless woman and her dog, which is kind of a metaphor for where America is at now as the Bush administration winds up 8 years of devastating this country and the world.
So, and the winner is? Or is that
the winners are not going to be announced until sometime probably in early February.
Okay,
right
great.
Now we're coming out with the nominees, and hopefully we'll be able to announce the winners on your show.
Great. Yeah, that would be wonderful. We'll have to do that. We don't have a lot of time here, and I don't think we're going to get through all of these. So the Best Actor Awards, the Garfields. These are named after John Garfield. You can tell us about John. He ran afoul of a Hollywood blacklist, right?
That's right. He was called to testify before the House Un-American Activities Committee because of his ties to the Hollywood left and appearing in a number of lefty films such as Force of Evil and Gentleman's Agreement, which was about anti-Semitism. And the nominees for the John Garfield Progie Award for Best Actor are Sean Penn for Milk, Frank Langella for Frost Nixon. And by the way, Frank Langella had a good preparation to prepare to play Nixon about 20, 30 years ago. He played Dracula, so I guess he kind of prepared him.
There you go.
Benicio del Toro is another favorite for Che Guevara in the movie Che. Josh Brolin as George W. Bush and Oliver Stone's W.
Right.
And Richard Jenkins in The Visitor.
That's great. We're talking, by the way, with Ed Rampell. He is the L.A.-based film historian and critic, author of the book Progressive Hollywood, A People's Film History of the United States. His website, politicalfilmcritics.blogspot.com. He's announcing the nominees, and they're being announced first, right here, live on the Tom Hartman Program, for the Progie Awards, the best progressive pictures of the year. So we've covered the best actor, or the best actor, the Garfield, the best picture, the Trumbo, the Karen Morley Award. This is best actress. It's named after Karen Morley, who was?
She was a left-wing Hollywood actress who actually ran for elective office. She was in some film noir movies such as Framed. She was in Pride and Prejudice in 1940, and she ran on the American Labor Party ticket in 1954 for a lieutenant governor. And the nominees for the Best Actress are Angelina Jolie in The Changeling,
mm-hmm.
Michelle Williams as that homeless woman, Wendy, in Wendy and Lucy,
mm-hmm.
Sally Hawkins, who is in Mike Lee's new film called Happy-Go-Lucky,
mm-hmm.
Kate Winslet for two roles in Revolutionary Road and The Reader,
right.
And Melissa Leo in Frozen River.
These are all good progressive films that, if you haven't seen yet, you know, put on your list. The Renoir, the great filmmaker Jean Renoir?
Jean Renoir, whose masterpiece is La Grande Illusion, about how militarism and war is just a big illusion.
Yeah, that was 1937, yeah.
Right, masterpiece. And this is the Progie Award for Best Anti-War Film.
Mm-hmm.
And the nominees for the Progie are Stop Loss, Waltz with Bashir, War, Inc., which is the satire starring John Cusack, Cusack.
We had John on the show. That's a brilliant, brilliant movie.
I loved it. Phil Donahue's Body of War, which mm-hmm. is actually a documentary, and Tim Robbins' The Lucky Ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And the Gillo, am I pronouncing it right?
I think it's a Gio, named Gio. After Gio Pontecorvo,
uh-huh.
who directed, again, getting back to the whole Arab-Israeli conflict and so on, he directed the Battle of Algiers, which was the classic story of the independence movement of the Algerians, not against Israel, but against France. And he also directed Marlon Brando in Burn around 1969 or so. And the nominees for Best Progressive Foreign Film are Waltz with Bashir, that's the third nomination for Waltz. Che, The Edge of Heaven, The Counterfeiters, The Year, My Parents Went on Vacation, which I believe is the story of the coup in South America. I think I have seen that film, and I think it was the coup against Allende in Chile, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And the Dziga, D-Z-I-G-A, we're going through the Progie Awards here. This is the best progressive documentary, and it's named after the Soviet filmmaker, and you can do the pronunciation here.
Dziga Vertov, who did a series of newsreels called Kino Pravda, and that means film truth. Or a candid camera.
Yeah.
And his most famous film is an avant-garde movie called The Man with the Movie Camera.
Uh-huh.
And this is for Best Progressive Documentary, and the nominees are Phil Donahue's The Body of War,
mm-hmm.
Trouble the Water,
mm-hmm.
Trumbo, which is the story of the blacklisted screenwriter Dalton Trumbo, starring a lot of great actors reading his writings. Standard Operating Procedure, which is a great documentary about torture in Abu Ghraib, and unbelievable film. And Bill Maher's Religious.
Uh-huh. A great and controversial movie. Ed Rampell, we have about 30 seconds left. There's a whole bunch of other awards. You want to just summarize this for folks and let them know where and how they can learn more about the Progies?
Yeah, absolutely. The Progies are being given by a international group of progressive film critics, and the idea again is to honor the films of consciousness and conscience, and to shine a light on independent films, Hollywood films, and others that may have been overlooked. And you could see our website at politicalfilmcritics.blogspot.com.
Great. Ed Rampell, politicalfilmcritics.blogspot.com is the website for the Progies, the progressive films, the best progressive pictures. Ed, good work. Thanks for being with us.
And I hope we'll be back in February to announce the winner.
Let's plan on it. 17 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
In the bizarro world of neoconservative politics, controlling the message is important, but not as important as taking the truth out for a joyride. In fact, in the neoconservative world, the truth is irrelevant. Up becomes down, heroes become traitors, and drilling for oil becomes exploring for energy. This is the core of Cracking the Code, the new book by Tom Hartman. In Cracking the Code, How to Win Hearts, Change Minds, and Restore America's Original Vision, Air America radio host Tom Hartman explains the art and science of political persuasion and how the brain processes fear and emotion, the right wing's messages of choice. Cracking the Code exposes how right-wing politicians recreate reality, spinning the truth to suit their agenda. But best of all, this book shows progressives how to tackle the propaganda head-on, how to push back against illogical logic, and how to effectively communicate the truth. Once you realize torture is now called enhanced interrogation, when the surge is indeed an escalation, and this endless occupation is being labeled a war, now you're cracking the code. Get Cracking the Code by Tom Hartman. Available at bookstores everywhere.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
If he had gotten into politics to steal, he certainly picked the wrong time because we're broke.
Randy Rhodes.
There's nothing left to steal. You know, why are they asking, is he crazy? Just look at his hair. What's on the outside is pretty good indication of what he's thinking on the inside.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
He actually considered appointing himself to the Senate seat because he was afraid that he had sucked every corrupt dollar out of Illinois, so he wanted to go national.
3 to 6 on AM 620 KPOJ.
Men, listen carefully. If you suffer from any type of erectile dysfunction, Oregon Male Performance Clinic can help you now, regardless of your age or medical history. If you want to perform for 45 minutes, an hour, 90 minutes, or longer, call 503-443-1000 in Portland. There's no pain or surgery, just the newest available safe and effective medications given to you by one of our licensed Oregon physicians. Our doctors are so sure you will have a positive reaction to our medication on the first visit that if you don't, it's free, guaranteed. In Portland, call 503-443-1000 now. If you want to perform for up to 90 minutes or longer, or if you suffer from PE, it doesn't matter what medications or health problems you have. If Viagra and Cialis have let you down, in Portland, call 503-443-1000 today and see why our patients now have happy, healthy, complete sex lives.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Most of us don't like medical exams, so if you're a healthy person who's put off getting term life insurance, now hear this. Because you can get up to $500,000 in term life insurance with no doctor visit and no medical exam within minutes just by answering a few health questions over the phone. For a free quote, call eFinancial at 1-800-619-9011. Many people put off getting life insurance because they don't like medical exams. But it's possible to answer a few simple health questions and receive term life from top-rated carriers in minutes and for less than you'd imagine. Everyone's situation is different, but you could qualify for $500,000 of term life with no medical exam, and it's affordable. You could even be covered today. If you're living without term life, do what's right for your family in minutes, right over the phone. Call now for your free quote. Call 1-800-619-9011. 1-800-619-9011.
How much could you be saving on car insurance? $300, $400, $500? There's a real easy way to find out. Just go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I do my best to play by the rules. I've been to a couple of
21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. And strange stuff going on. Well, actually, normalcy is descending on Minneapolis-St. Paul's airport. It's kind of sad, you know? The restroom where Larry Craig was busted, big tourist site. There's a big Snoopy out in front, by the way. If you ever go through the airport, you want to know which one it is. And the people would go there, and they'd have their picture taken there, and it was just a giant tourist site. And now it's kind of losing its appeal as a tourist stop. Increasingly, people are not going there saying, where's the Larry Craig bathroom? Which the officials at the airport think is just fine, but I think it's kind of sad that one of the important Republican sex scandals of 2008 is being forgotten. Anyhow, 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Just a couple of quick things here. The Christmas shopping season seems to be in the tank, and expect to see more bankruptcies. Here's the important, interesting or important thing about this. The Dow in 1931, the Dow Jones Industrial Average in the year 1931, arguably one of the two worst years of the Great Depression, 31 and 32 were probably the two worst years. That year, it lost 40% of its value. The Dow this year has lost a little over 36% of its value. And in fact, the Standard & Poor's has lost 40.9% of its value, more than the Dow lost in 1931. When you look at all the people who are being laid off, and you realize that the only thing that stimulates an economy, forget all the cons telling you, oh, no, you need rich people to keep more money. Sorry, you could raise taxes on rich people all day long. It's not going to hurt the economy because they don't spend that money. They use it to build factories in China, or they use it to buy bonds in Switzerland, or they, you know, whatever. I mean, they invest it, but that doesn't mean that they're building a factory here in the United States. Very rarely, actually, does it mean that. And frankly, if there's a business opportunity in the United States, there's no shortage of money that can be put into it if you can demonstrate that there's a demand for the product. But the demand comes from working people having wages. And so as all these people get laid off, as all these businesses go belly up, as companies are cutting back on salaries and wages, as they're cutting back on benefits, which is the spiral that we've been in, slowly, ever since Ronald Reagan came into office and set up the second Republican Great Depression, and rapidly, ever since George W. Bush came into office and actually put into place the hardest of the hardcore of Reagan's policies, not to mention Clinton going forward with many of those policies with regard to international trade, we are now seeing this country slide into the second Republican Great Depression, and there we have not come close to a bottom. I expect housing prices are going to fall at least another 25%. Certainly at least another 20%. That's what it would take to get them back just to the historical average adjusted for inflation and time. And as housing prices drop, the ability of people to spend money, to use their homes as ATMs, further goes away. You're going to see credit tightening up so people can't use their credit cards like they have been able to, which is ultimately a healthy thing. But you know, over the short term, it's going to mean less spending. And again, less spending, less demand. The thing to get us out of this depression, and make no mistake about it, we are in the early stages of a depression, the second Republican Great Depression. The corporate media and the Republicans are not going to call it that until after Obama's president so that they can call it the Obama Depression. It's the second Republican Great Depression. The thing to get us out of this is raising wages and raising taxes on the wealthy and on corporations, because those tax dollars can then be used to build things and put people back to work in this country. And, of course, we have to return to a rational trade policy. But anyhow, the economy is a huge story as well, and one that we really need to notice. Mike in Seattle. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, since you touched on the economy, I saw an article, which I thought was kind of strange, in the Wall Street Journal this morning, titled, As If Things Weren't Bad Enough, Russian Professor Predicts End of U.S.
Yeah, I read that. He even has a nice spiffy little map that says that all the states basically east of Ohio are going to go to Europe. All the states basically west of Colorado are going to go to Asia, to China. Hawaii is going to go to Japan. That Alaska is going to go to Russia. That the Midwestern states in the north, you know, north of the Mason-Dixon lines are going to become property of Canada and the Midwestern states. And the southern states south of the Mason-Dixon line and the southwest are going to become part of Mexico. And
right.
We will cease to exist. He's crazy. The guy's never been here.
I thought it was loopy, too. But the only reason why I called you to ask you for your opinion on it is because recently some scary things have been happening in the economy. And some of the people, some of the economists who were called loopy a couple of years ago who were predicting this this mess, all of a sudden right. So I'm wondering what you think this is going to end up being like.
Well, you know, Noriel Rubini and
Mark
Paul
Faber and Jim Rogers.
Yeah, a whole lot of these guys who've been pointing this thing out. And Jim Sinclair at JS Mindset, MINESET.com, a whole bunch of them. None of them are predicting the dissolution of the United States, Mike, or for that matter, Ravi Batra. I think this will actually pull our country together and make us stronger. This guy is a Russian nationalist, and he's just never been to the United States. But it's an interesting kind of crackpot story. Mike, thanks for the call. We do have to, though, deal with the conflict that's going to come out of this, and it's going to be substantial.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ.
Our telephone number. Talk radio for the sane among us. Tom Hartman here with you, 34 minutes past the hour. And Art in Seattle. Hey, Art, what's on your mind today?
Tom?
Yes.
Let's talk about this guy by the name of Chip Saltzman.
Yeah, this is the guy who Peter Yarrow was on our show earlier talking about, the fellow who is running for chairman of the Republican National Committee. And his Christmas gift to all the Republicans who can vote for chairman of the Republican National Committee this year was a CD with 20 or 30 songs on it, among them, emboldened, by the way, in the table of contents, Barack the Magic Negro.
Let's talk about the misguided efforts of this guy, Saltzman, who is from Tennessee, which is the birthplace of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
Now, Saltzman thinks that he's going to do something nice to turn the GOP into the KKK, but what he doesn't realize... When I say that Tennessee is the birthplace of the Klan, it's where Nathan Bedford Forrest came from, and he was the millionaire slave trader who became a Confederate general who presided over the massacre of surrendered black soldiers at Fort Pillow, and he became the first grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. And the reason I know so much about the Klan is because I grew up in the South, and I was solicited to join it, and I said no. Their targets were first... blacks, of course, and then Catholics,
right,
and then Jews, immigrants.
Yeah.
And what Saltzman doesn't know, he's a Catholic, and his wife and kids are Catholics. And the Klan said, as the guy who was the head of the Klan said to me, listen, we got to get rid of the Catholics because in every one of their churches, down in the basement, they have a cache of arms. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, he says, if we're not careful, they're going to take over. Now, what Saltzman doesn't realize is that if he turns the GOP into the KKK, the second target they're going to be after will be him and his wife and kids.
He'll have his very own Pastor Niemöller moment. Pastor Niemöller was the German who famously, the German churchman, Lutheran minister, who famously said, you know, first they came for the Jews, and I was not a Jew, and then they came for the, or actually, I think it was first they came for the trade unionists. But yeah, whatever the list was, you know, and then they came for me. Yeah.
It's a frightening prospect, but I don't think Saltzman. I think the number one, Saltzman's a dummy. But number two, I don't think he realizes that he's going to be one of the targets if he gets the Southern strategy that Nixon popularized to work all the way, and the GOP becomes the KKK.
Yeah, yeah, well said, Art. Thank you very much for that. And you know, Reagan, you say Nixon started the Southern strategy. Reagan kicked off his campaign in Philadelphia, Mississippi, as I recall, the place where there had been these horrific murderers of civil rights workers. And it was his way of saying to all the white racists in the South, I'm with you guys. So, and I think, you know, as I recall now, Pastor Niemöller, I think actually it was first they came for the communists. But in any case, Stephen in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Stephen, what's up?
Hello, Tom. First, I want to ask you, you say that you disagree with Israel's actions. Now, no other country on the planet, no other nation or state on the planet would allow for months and years thousands of missiles and rockets to be attacking their civilians, and the Hamas particularly attack civilians, kids in schools, restaurants, shopping centers. Now, you say that's a mistake for Israel to do this. Now, what would you suggest they do? Just let them be sitting ducks and just let their especially in the southern cities, be constantly rained with these Kassam rockets and missiles every single day? It's been going on for the last 3.5 years. What would you do?
Well, first of all, the missile fire began after the ceasefire was violated on November 4th when Israel bombed the tunnels.
They have been going on since the summer of 2005 when Israel left Gaza.
I believe that for the last 6 months there have been no missile fire.
There have been.
Am I wrong on that, Stephen?
There have been. Not as much, but there have been continuously.
I stand corrected then.
Okay.
Here's what I think that my own personal opinion of how Israel should be dealing with this. They should be dealing with it the way that the British dealt with the IRA in Ireland. They should be dealing with it the way that the way that ETA is being dealt with by the Spaniards. They should be providing support to the people, the Palestinian people in Gaza. They should be making life better for the Palestinian people. They should be educating them, which will actually, and particularly empowering the women in that culture, which will diminish the power of radical Islam. And as women get power, they tend not to have such large families. It'll also diminish the ongoing population explosion in that area, which is the result of the oppression of women.
You said that there's a large disagreement in Israel.
Well, you asked me a question, Stephen. You want me to finish answering it?
Okay, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Number one, I think that they need to help the Palestinians achieve modernity, you know, come into the modern age. And this teachable moment has existed over the last 20 years on a number of occasions. And I think the biggest one most recently was 2005 or 2006 when Hamas won that election.
Do you know what Hamas said immediately after they won it? They said number one goal is to destroy Israel. Now, how do you expect Israel to embrace them, as you said earlier in the last hour, when another country wants to destroy every one of your citizens?
I agree that you can't embrace the people who are saying that, Stephen. I absolutely agree with you on that. And just like the people among the Orange Men in Northern Ireland who were saying that they were going to end up bringing down the rest of Ireland, or the IRA who said that they were going to exterminate every last Protestant in the North. Those are not the people that you talk to. But within Hamas, there were people who were calling for reconciliation with Israel.
Well, how do you think Israel would separate?
And those people need to be empowered.
Yes, but how? I understand that's a good point. But how, Tom, would you suggest Israel separate between, you say, the people that can be reached, the so-called moderates, and the rest of them who are really the leaders? And
the same way they did with the PLO. The exact same way they did with the PLO.
Any of the PLO who cooperated with Israel were killed by their own, were hung. They were considered traitors when they dealt with Israel, or, you know.
But the fact of the matter is that the PLO morphed into Fatah, and Fatah is now in control of the West Bank, to the extent that you can call that control.
They
became a relatively mainstream political movement, and they're the moderates now in the Arab world. They could have done the same thing with Hamas, in my opinion. Now, I realize that may be a simplistic perspective. I understand if your country is being attacked by people, you need to respond. I absolutely understand that. And I'm not in an absolute broad brush condemning Israel for their response. What I'm saying is I don't think that this was the most effective for Israel a response.
Days ago, who, like you, you've been in Israel in the past. I have never been there, but they lived there for almost a year. And they said that many of the residents have been saying for months and months when these attacks and missiles have gone off and their rockets, and they lost a friend who's actually just, you know, going about their business, some shopping center. A lot of people, residents, said, where is the government on this? Why are they letting this happen? Why are they letting the missiles rain on?
Well, you're conflating two things, Stephen. The missiles that are coming out of Gaza, in the last year, they've killed one person. Mostly they're hitting empty fields. You know, this is way down in southern Israel. And to conflate that with the suicide bombers who blew up the last one was a year or so ago in the pizza place in Tel Aviv. There may be some people who are associated with both of them. But yeah, that needs to be dealt with. But the fact of the matter is that when you impose poverty on people and you kill some of them, you are not going to cause them to like you.
But the fact of the matter is, they're not going to like anyway. There are some people who are just committed enemies who are their only goal is to kill you.
Then why is Fatah working with the Israelis?
Well, because the Hamas is actually the more extreme militant strain. They have the leaders.
But Fatah was 6 years ago.
Fatah
was 6 years ago, 20 years ago, it was the PLO, which is now Fatah, and Hamas, for all practical purposes, didn't exist.
Because Arafat decided in 1993 and the others, I mean, can you picture Hamas leaders standing on the lawn with an Israeli leader shaking their hands as Arafat did? There is a different
You couldn't have pictured that with Arafat 5 years before it happened. That's my point. They need to find the Arafats or the people even better than Arafat, because Arafat was terribly corrupt.
And what do you do in the meanwhile when you've got missiles and rockets raining down on your southern cities? Do you think if San Diego had a rockets launched from, let's say, Tijuana, I'm just giving an example, I don't believe it's going to happen. Do you think America would tolerate that for 3 years? They would let that go on for 3 days.
No, I agree with you, and we shouldn't. And if missiles were being launched from Tijuana into San Diego, I would hope that we would have the technology to identify the points where those missiles had been fired from and drop bombs on them. You know, I'm all in favor of a response. I just think that when you go into a major city and you drop large bombs in heavily populated areas and kill lots and lots of people, that you may not over time be serving your best interests.
Do you think there should be any military response or none at all? I mean,
I think that a military response is entirely appropriate. I just think that this is disproportionate. I agree with the language used by the president of France, Nicolas Sarkozy, who said that this is excessive.
Well, back in July, Barack Obama said when he was visiting, I believe the city was called Sderot. Is that the name of it?
Yes, Sderot is the closest Israeli city to Gaza.
He says that he can imagine, he was giving an example of his family, if his daughters were going off to school and he had to worry about that they were going to be not returned because they would be attacked by rockets and missiles, he would absolutely understand it.
Yeah, so would I. So would I, Stephen. Well, I'm going to get into one of my best friend stories. I'm not going to do that because it sounds gratuitous. But yes, I am familiar with the wreckage wreaked by Muslim fundamentalist crazies in the Middle East and people who think that they are fighting the good fight. And there are better ways to deal with it, in my opinion.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-561-DIRECTV. 888-561-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-561-DIRECTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country.
That has now changed.
But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party, and it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Looking for the best way to get around in severe winter weather? Then get into Car Vancouver for our four-wheel drive severe winter sale. Gas prices are falling, and so are the sale prices at Car Vancouver. Right now, drive home a new GMC four-wheel drive Yukon XL for just $32,995. That's right, cut through the weather in a fully loaded SLT Yukon XL with leather, navigation, DVD, and sunroof for just $32,995. That's over $18,000 off MSRP. Car Vancouver has hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and credit is never an issue. Good credit, no problem. Car Cadillac GMC Pontiac Buick, where salaried salespeople see it your way. Just off SR 500 and Andreessen on 4th Plain, two blocks west of the Vancouver Auto Mall. GMC, we are professional grade. MSRP 51005, sale price after $9,000 in rebates, VIN number 8J142178.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price? $20 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-300-6619. That's 1-800-300-6619. Or go to selectquote.com. SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health and other factors. Not available in all states.
Do you have a good back or a bad back? I broke my back skydiving back when I was 20 years old. Yes, it's true. 60 to 80% of the population experiences back pain at some time in their life, but you don't have to be in pain to visit Relax the Back. Relax the Back's furniture not only looks good, but actually improves your spinal health. Relax the Back has certified ergonomic assessment specialists on staff to assist you in choosing ergonomic chairs, recliners, pillows, mattresses, sleep aids, desks, footrests, zero gravity chairs, and whatever else you may need. I love my own Relax the Back recliner.
Relax the Back. Located in Beaverton and Clackamas.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Nine and a half minutes before the hour. I have seen this. I have been in Israel when there have been suicide attacks. The last time it got up close and personal for me was a few years ago. I was in London speaking at a conference, and also speaking at that conference was a very close friend of mine. I have, and my wife and I have both on numerous occasions stayed in his home, him and his wife and their seven kids, as I recall. He's a psychologist in Israel, and I'm not going to name him, or at least his last name on the air, but just because he doesn't know I'm having this conversation, and I haven't gotten his permission. But we were in London, Simcha and I, and both speaking at this conference, and his wife called my room looking for him because he was not in his room and wasn't answering the phone in the hotel, and asked me to go track him down. And I went down and found him in the restaurant and said, call your wife right away. She was back in they actually live in one of the settlements in the West Bank. They're one of the ones that's close into Jerusalem. And so he called his wife back, and there had just been like an hour before this god-awful suicide bombing in Tel Aviv, as I recall. And he is, being a psychologist and also being in the Army, as all Israeli men are, the vast majority of them, he was being immediately called back to deal with the trauma, with the survivors, helping the survivors deal with the post-traumatic stress disorder, and had to, you know, hop on a plane. I mean, I helped him pack and get him down to the airport to head back. This is a terrible, terrible situation and needs to be dealt with. Absolutely needs to be dealt with. And there's a wide variety of ways to deal with it, including military and police operations. But to rely on them exclusively, I think, is broadly a mistake. Stan in Ketchum, Idaho, 866-303-2270, your telephone number. Stan, hey Stan, what's up?
Hey, Tom, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, that last caller didn't answer your question about how come Fatah basically progressed and is now more of the liberal party, but I didn't. That point wasn't lost on me, so that's a good point. And another point that's often brought up by someone who I believe might be a friend of yours, Jeff Halper, is something I want to ask you as well, and that's whether or not you think that Israel can ever expect to achieve security for its people or any sort of political normalcy as long as it continues to occupy Palestinian lands and as long as it continues to impose basically a permanent rule over the Palestinians by military force.
This is the terrible catch-22, the hawks on the Israeli side would say that this is the great lesson of Gaza, and I would say that if you saw the movie Charlie Wilson's War, this is really the great lesson of that. But their point is, okay, if we don't occupy the territory, if we're not the ones doing the policing, for example, then what you get is a bunch of guys smuggling in weapons and lobbing missiles at us, which is what happened in Gaza. And my response to that would be the Charlie Wilson's War response, where, you know, is the movie about the Americans going into Afghanistan in the 80s and backing Osama bin Laden and a bunch of, not just bin Laden, but, you know, the Mujahideen in their battle against the Soviets. And we helped them drive the Soviets out of Afghanistan. And Charlie Wilson, the congressman from Texas who basically made all this happen, and it's a brilliant movie, even if it's, you know, a little historically inaccurate. At the very end of this, he goes to before Congress, and this is like in 85 or something like that. He goes before Congress and he says, we have to, you know, we just spent $700 million on arming the Mujahideen to throw the Soviets out, and it may lead to the collapse of the Soviet Union. But if we don't now spend $5 million or $10 million building schools and hospitals and infrastructure so that the Afghans can lift themselves out of poverty and lift themselves out of the 10th age, the 10th century culturally, and move into the modern world, you're going to see in Afghanistan the rise of fundamentalist Islam and the Taliban, and they're going to take that state and turn it into a terrorist state. It'll be a disaster for the United States. And the members of Congress said, we don't want to appropriate any more money for Afghanistan. We drove the Soviets out. That's all we gave a damn about. And that decision by the Republicans, by Reagan and the Republicans in the House and Senate at that time, is what led directly to Osama bin Laden being able to set up those camps in Afghanistan. And I would say the same thing is what happened in Gaza. If when Gaza was granted relative autonomy and elected a government at the pressure, at the urging of the Bush administration, by the way, if the people living in Gaza had been given tremendous infrastructure and educational and, you know, modern, basically bring them into the modern age support from Israel, from the United States, from the international community, from the quartet, right, from the United Nations, just right across the board, the whole bunch, then there wouldn't have been the space in which the crazies could grow and acquire more and more power. In fact, it would have over time diminished the power of the crazies, in my humble opinion.
Sort of an offshoot of the Golden Rule.
Yeah, it is. But like I said, the other side, and there is some truth to what they're saying. What the other side will say is, give independence to Palestinians. We tried that in Gaza, and look what happened. They're throwing missiles at us. And so this is where, I just have to say over and over again, it's not black and white. It's not all that simple. It is possible to be pro-Israel and pro-peace, as I think that I am. Stan, thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you. I appreciate it. We've got to wrap the show up here. Coming up tomorrow, award-winning investigative journalist A.C. Thompson is going to talk about his explosive new piece in The Nation magazine, Katrina's Hidden Race War. Did you know they were murdering, armed gangs of whites were murdering blacks in New Orleans during and after Katrina? Plus, who's responsible for the safety labels on medicine bottles? Peter Pitts, conservative center for the medicine and the public interest. We're going to be debating that. Don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. Get out there, get active. See you soon. See you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.